Heavenly Father, we just come giving you praise, honor, and glory once more because of who you are, an awesome God, a holy and righteous God, a God who loves us, Lord, in spite of all of our shortcomings. Lord, you've been so very good to us. And Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for sustaining us, for providing for us, for, you know, just being there for us, showing yourself strong and mighty in our behalf. Lord, we welcome you, that your presence is here. Lord, I ask, Lord, that your anointing would be on this lesson, that you would help me, Lord, to teach it as I ought to. I pray, Father, Lord, that you would give your people hearing ears, Lord, and a receptive heart. Cause this word, Lord, to fall on good ground and bring forth fruit in their lives abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm wrapping up my teaching on divine connection, I hope. Okay. You know, for God's people, for the children of God, divine connection shouldn't be an unusual occurrence. It really shouldn't be. You know, we should live in the air of expectancy, expecting God to do amazing things for us. We should live expecting God to do out of the norm, you know, because we are not normal people, you know. He said that we are peculiar. That word peculiar doesn't mean strange. It means precious. It means special. It means out of the ordinary. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. You know, that's who we are. And, you know, when you are special, you know, you just don't dwell in the ordinary. Amen. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know? So we should expect, you know, that the impossibilities to happen for us. That's how we should live our lives as Christians. But sad enough, we don't. You know, and then most of us don't. And then when God does something out of the ordinary, we're just blown away by it. You know, or we pray and we ask God to do something, you know, and then he does it and we're like, wow, you know, I can't believe this happened. You know, pretty much like when Peter was in prison and the brethren were praying for his deliverance. They were praying all night. And then God delivers Peter. And the maid, you know, she couldn't believe her eyes when she saw him at the gate. She, instead of letting him in, she ran to tell them. They tell her, oh, you're seeing things, you know. So we should be looking for the extraordinary. We should be expecting miracles, you know, to happen in our lives. And this shouldn't be a once in a while occurrence. It should be the norm. You know, we should always expect God to show up and to show out, no matter what the situation is. So tonight, we're going to take another look at divine connection and how God connects his people. And the right, you know, he orders our steps so that we're in the right place at the right time to meet the right people. You know, I don't know how he does it, considering half the time we don't cooperate with him. But somehow he manages to get us, you know, where we're supposed to be. So let's look at Exodus chapter 2, and we're reading from verse 1 through 10. And there went a man of the house of Levi. Now that's where I come from, that's how we pronounce it. I know Americans say Levi. But you know, this was my mom's name, Levi. And that's how it was spelled. So forgive me if I say Levi, okay? There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the river's bank. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now the children of Israel, they were enslaved. They were in slavery. They were, you know, they were in captivity. They were in bondage to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, you know, because they multiplied so fast and they became so many, he became threatened he thought that maybe they would, you know, rise up and overthrow him or something. But he became real cruel. You know, he just worked him. It was awful. You know, he was not a nice man. He was brutal. He made them work, you know, from early in the morning until late at night. They hardly got any rest. They were beaten. I mean, they were treated, very shabbily. And you know, the people cried out because they were hurting. You know, they had no rest. There was no joy in their lives. I mean, you know, they probably dreaded the coming of daylight. Have you ever been in a situation where you just didn't want morning to come? You just wish the night would just go on and on and on. No, there was a period in my life where, where I just didn't want to wake up. You know, I just wish this night would just last forever. But how do you know when you're faced, when you're in a situation like that, it just seems like that's when the evening just fly by. You put your head down, and just when you're getting comfortable, it's time to get up and face the day. Okay? So, they cried out. They were constantly crying out for deliverance. And, you know, God had heard them. You know, God hears the cries of his children. He may not come when we want him to, but he's sovereign. He knows what he's doing. Pastor Sharon told me this a few months ago. You know, I've been praying about a particular thing, and I've been asking God, "What's going on? What are you doing? When, Lord?" And so one Wednesday night, she said to me, "I don't know if this means anything to you, but God said to tell you he knows what he's doing." So God had a plan. He always have a plan. Nothing takes him by surprise. So, it was bad enough that Pharaoh was working these people to death. But then he decided to curtail the population by killing out all the baby boys. The girls could live, but the boys, the midwives were instructed to kill them. Midwives didn't listen, so he commanded that they should be drowned. You know, he was going to make sure that the children of Israel did not multiply. You know, he was going to keep them down. But you know, you can't keep God's people down.
Amen.
You know, no matter how you try, you know, you can't keep them down. So this couple here that we just read about, they got married and they had this baby, and they hid him. The Bible said for 3 months they hid him from Pharaoh's soldiers, or, you know, they couldn't find him. But, you know, you can't hide a baby forever. So eventually, you know, they came up with this plan to put him in this basket. They prepared this basket and they put him in this basket and they set him on the river. And Moses' sister, he wasn't called Moses then, but the baby sister Miriam, she was nearby watching. Guess who else was also watching the child? God was. He was watching over that little baby. And okay, so she came and, you know, she saw the basket floating and she sent her mates to get it. And they went and they brought the basket to her and she opened it. There was a baby, a cute little baby crying. And her heart just went out to him. Mm-hmm. Even though she recognized that this was a Hebrew baby, she knew, you know, what Pharaoh had done. And she knew that this child's parents were hiding him. And, you know, she just fell in love with him. You know, babies can do that to you. They can tug on the strings of your heart, especially when they cry. And so she loved the baby and she decided, I'm going to keep this baby. She bonded just like that. She bonded with this little baby. Nearby was the baby's sister. And she, you know, she asked the you know, if she can go find somebody to take care of this baby. And Pharaoh's daughter said, yeah, you know, go and find someone. Well, guess who she ran and got? She ran and got her own mother, who happened to be the baby's mom also. Now God is setting something up here.
Yes,
you know, he's always working. He does things on purpose. Nothing happens by accident where God is concerned. So she hired, you know, this Hebrew lady to nurse the baby and paid her. Imagine, she got paid for taking care of her own child. Isn't that amazing how God works? I mean, she was so afraid that she would, you know, she would lose her baby. She didn't know what she was doing. Can you imagine? She must have been out of her mind, you know, trying to figure out what's going to become of him. And here he is, lo and behold, Pharaoh's daughter, the very person's father who ordered the killing of all these babies. God made a connection. Connected this woman with this baby, okay? She loved him, and she paid the baby's mom, she didn't know, and to take care of him, and she did. So she got to spend time with her son without being fearful. She didn't have to worry about getting exposed and the soldiers coming and dragging him away, you know, because this, you know, she was being paid to do this. See how God works. I mean, I don't think the folks in Hollywood could have created a better script. This is just amazing. As I was preparing this lesson, I didn't know I was going to go in this direction. But as I was doing it, I was amazed, you know, how God step by step by step, he was putting things in place. The situation looked bad when Pharaoh ordered these babies to be killed. But out of a bad situation, something good came. Never in a million years did this child's mom or his dad thought for 1 minute that he would end up in the company of Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, that was the wildest thing. You know, think about it. You know, but God knows. He knows how to orchestrate these things. And, you know, he wove this, this thing together. And Pharaoh's daughter took him, and, you know, he grew up. He grew up in a palace. He went from being a slave to being a prince. Just like that. 1 minute he was a you know, he was the son of a slave, of slaves.
Amen.
And the next minute, he was Pharaoh's daughter's son. God connected it.
Yes.
You know, God has ways of doing things that's beyond our comprehension. It will just blow our mind. You know, all we have to do is trust him. Regardless of what the situation is, you know, we have to trust him. That's the hardest thing for us to do as human beings, and I don't know why, but we struggle with trust. But when we trust God and we put all our cares, you know, on him, and we just, you know, lay back and just step back from the situation and said, okay, God, you have this, you handle it. God works. You know, I believe a lot of times we are the hindering force from seeing our miracles, because we want to be in control. We want to, you know, we want to know everything, every step of the way. We have to walk by faith. This, you know, this walk is a faith walk. The Christian's life is a walk of faith. God was getting ready to use this very baby to deliver the Israelites. The son of a slave was about to become the deliverer. But first he had to position him. God had to put some things in place. So fear, you know, this child that we know as Moses became Moses. She named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. God had to position him, right? And what did he do? Where did he put him? Right smack in the palace. Right on the Pharaoh's nose. In his household. Does God have a sense of humor or what? He hit him right under his nose. Pharaoh didn't have a clue what was going on. I mean, you know, didn't even enter his head. All he knew, this, you know, this was his daughter's son. If he only knew. Moses was hiding, as we would say, in open sight. No one knew that this child was about to turn all of Egypt upside down in a couple of years. Acts 7:22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. Moses grew up in a palace and was given the best education. You would expect that, wouldn't you? Growing up in a palace, training and preparation that Egypt had to offer. He got the best. He sat under the best tutors, under the best minds in those times. He was trained, you know, he became skilled in certain things, I mean, you know, that he would not have had he been, you know, like every one of the other Israelites, and had he grown up being the son of a slave. God was training Moses. Moses was in training from birth. All through his life, he was being trained. He didn't know it. You know, we go through things in life, and we don't see it as training. You know, when we're in the desert, when we're in the oven, and you know, and it's hot, and things are miserable, and we just can't seem to make sense of anything, and we're crying out. You know, God is shaping us. He's molding us. I had to learn that. And so you know what I learned to pray? This is just me. Maybe you guys can borrow it. But I usually pray and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to learn what I need to learn quick so I can get out of this fire, so I can get out of this desert. I don't want to stay here any longer than necessary. So if you're teaching me something, Lord, help me open my text call. Help me to get it quick. Moses was in training. Pharaoh did not see this coming. He did not see this one coming. His sorcerers and all these people, you know, fortune tellers and stuff, they didn't see it coming either. You know, there are lots of things that God has for us that Satan doesn't see coming. You know, and suddenly God will reveal his plan and Satan will be blindsided. He didn't see it coming when he crucified Jesus. The Bible said, had they known that what they were doing, that they were crucifying, who they were crucifying, they would not have done it. He knows how to blindside the enemy. Pharaoh was blindsided. Boy, was he blindsided. So this baby, born to Hebrew slaves, he survived the execution orders. He was rescued by a key member of Pharaoh's household and became a prince in Egypt. What a promotion. Wouldn't you like a promotion like that? That's a good promotion, isn't it?
Yes.
None of this just accidentally happened. This didn't just happen because God had a plan. It was a strategic plan, a very strategic plan. And God positioned the deliverer right in the enemy's camp and had them to take care of him. They, you know, Pharaoh fed him, clothed him, paid for his tuition, everything. It's not just like God. I think it was Joel Osteen, I told this joke about this lady who was, she didn't have any food or anything, and she kept praying, and some man was passing by and heard her praying, and he went to listen a little closer to what she was praying, and he heard her praying and asking God to supply her with food. Her cupboards were bare, she didn't have any food. And so he, you know, with a smirk on his face, he ran off and he bought her a bunch of food and he put it at her door, knocked on the door really loud, and she came and found all this food. And she, you know, she took the food in and she was so excited and happy and she was thanking God, oh, you know, for being her Jehovah Jireh and providing. And he jumped out from the bushes and he said, you know, in a sarcastic way, "Lady, get real. God didn't buy you that stuff. I did. I just went and bought you all these groceries." And the lady praised God even more and said, "Lord, I thank you for providing my food and making Satan pay for it." That is what God did with Pharaoh. He made Pharaoh raise the deliverer. Clothed the deliverer, fed him, trained him. That's how God works. I never saw all this until I was preparing this lesson. It was a divine connection. A divine connection. What appeared to be a tragic dilemma for the Israelites, you know, the execution, the order to execute all the boys, was the very thing that God was going to use to deliver his children from captivity. We all know the end of the story. Moses delivered the children of Israel out of bondage. No matter how dire a situation we may face, no matter how impossible things may look, God can always find a way. Romans 8:28, in the King James Version, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." So I looked it up in the Voice translation. This was the first time that I've checked out the Voice translation. And the Voice says, "We are confident that God is able to orchestrate everything to work towards something good and beautiful." He is able to orchestrate and work everything towards something good and beautiful when we love him and accept his invitation to live according to his plan. See, we have to yield to him. We have to be yielded to God. You know, we have to trust him. We have to walk in obedience. And when we do, God is able to do all this for us. Nothing catches God off guard. Absolutely nothing. The Passion, you know, ever since Pastor mentioned the Passion, I just love the Passion. So I did, checked it out. And the Passion says, So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan. Every detail, nothing goes unnoticed. Nothing is too small to bring to God. If you ever heard people say, oh, don't bother, I don't want to bother God, that's too small, that's too trivial. No, God says, come. Bring it to me. Cast your cares upon me. Cast your burdens. Nothing is too small. That's the enemy trying to tell you that because he doesn't want you to get the answer. He doesn't want you to get the breakthrough. It's a lie from the pit of hell.
Amen.
Every detail of our lives is continually woven. Not sometimes. Not once a year. Continually, God is continually working things out for us. He's a God who is continuously doing things for his children. He's continually, every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our lives. God is the one who brings good things into our lives, okay? For we are his lovers who have been called to fulfill his design purpose. You know, we didn't just get saved just so we can live and die and go to heaven. Yes, that's the plan. But in between, God has a plan that he wants us to work out. You know, he has a plan for each and every single one of us. I think it's in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. When we were coming back from Hawaii, the church that I attended presented us with that scripture, a prayer. And I cannot tell you how many times, you know, when we were living in Greenleaf, and, you know, I was apprehensive about a lot of things, and I didn't know, you know, where we were going to live. I hated the apartments. Nothing, you know, it's not... nothing wrong with Greenleaf. I just had never lived in an apartment before. And so I felt closed in, hemmed in. And then later on, I felt that I was going to have a baby. And you know, when you're pregnant, your hormones go all crazy. And I mean, and I, you know, it was crazy. I couldn't get enough air. I felt like everybody was breathing my air. So in the middle of November, I have all the windows open. The place is freezing cold. I have all the windows open and everybody's shivering because I need air, you know? You know, and I went through these highs and lows, and I would look at that scripture. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And that scripture comforted me. You know, it would just calm my apprehensions and my fears and my doubts. And I'd walk through the apartment saying to myself, God has plans for me. God has plans for me. God has plans for me. You know, and if God has plans for me, God is a good God. So therefore his plans are good. You know, he's a good God. And he weaves together everything to fit into his perfect plan so that he can bring good into our lives. Isaiah 46:10. This is the New Living Translation. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. God is sovereign. No one can stop him. When he gets going, don't stand in his way. Get out the way quick. The English Standard, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose. The children of Israel, they were enslaved in Egypt, and Pharaoh thought he had them. He just, you know, thought that he was going to have them for good. They were always going to be in bondage. They were always going to be slaves. They were always going to have free labor, building his pyramids and, you know, to his false gods and all this stuff. He just didn't know that God had a plan. But he was about to find out. He did find out, didn't he?
Yes.
The Berean Study Bible says, I declare the end from the beginning and ancient times from what is still to come, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. God knows how to connect us regardless of what the situation. Moses was born to, he was born to the slave parents who were slaves, but God hooked him up. God hooked him up to the palace. That's a good hookup. how many of you like to be hooked up? God hooked him up. And because he was hooked up, the children of Israel, they were hooked up too. Because he was the deliverer. They just didn't know it. Their situation looked bleak, you know. But Romans, like Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. You know, we can be in a bad situation and we can say, I just don't see how this thing can work out for me. Now, what good can come out of this? If we just yield and sit back and trust God, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll find out. He'll give us an audience before government authorities, and you know that's not an easy thing. Now, I was encouraged to give this testimony. I wasn't going to tell it, but it's a good one. But he's already smiling. Several years ago, I was in an accident, and I had to go to court. So the day before the court, I went to check out where the courthouse was because I wasn't familiar with the downtown area. So I found the building and I decided I better go in and so I know exactly where this room is. So I went, you know, and I went down some hallways and stuff, and I looked down this very long hallway, and there was a man standing there. Now the hallway was empty. There were lots of rooms. All the doors were closed. And he was just standing there, a tall, lanky-looking man, gray-haired man with a briefcase. He was just standing there all by himself. So I went down the hallway and I said, sir, do you know where room so-and-so is? And he said, oh, it's right here. He was standing in front of the very room. And so all of a sudden, I just found myself telling him about the accident and how it happened. And I said, and I have to come to court, and I've never been in court before, and I don't know how this thing is going to go. Do you think the judge will listen to me if I explain this thing to him? And he looked at me and he said he might. So the next morning, I showed up to court. I went in the door, and he was the judge. Isn't that amazing? He was the judge presiding over my case. Now, you know that was a divine connection. God gave me an audience with the judge. He allowed me to tell the judge my case before the case. That's what God does for his children. So I walked in when, you know, when I saw him, I mean, I could barely believe what I was seeing. So when they called my case number and I went up, he looked at me and he said, oh, it's you. Now the judge and I, we knew what was going on, but the rest of the people, you know, they were wondering, what, you know. We had our own secret code going on. To make a long story short, I felt emboldened and I told him what happened, just like I did the day before. And some other people came up and they had a slightly different version, but the judge in the end, he leaned back in his chair and he said, well, it's obvious that the weather contributed to this accident. And he picked up his gavel, is that what you call it? And he said, case dismissed. Threw the thing out. That was a divine connection. Yeah. Nobody could convince me that that just happened. He just happened to be standing in a lonely hallway all by himself with all the doors closed. I mean, there wasn't anyone else inside. God had him there.
Yes.
He probably didn't even know why he was standing there. But he was waiting to connect with me so he could hear the story, you know? God is a mighty God. He, you know, he will weave our paths and he will put those causes to be in the right place at the right time. No matter how difficult the situation is, no matter how impossible it seems, if we trust our Heavenly Father, because he loves us, he loves and cares for us, and he wants to do good things for us. And so I'm going to leave this encouraging word with you tonight. Trust God. If you know, if you feel like you've been, you know, passed over for a promotion in the job, or the boss did you wrong, let God handle it. Let God handle it. Right? God can fix it so you'll become your boss's boss. God can, he can turn the tables, right? That company, you know, you can become the owner of the company. Nothing is impossible with God, and nothing is impossible to the people of God. Amen?
Amen.